Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, welcome to another Retro As It Occurs To Me. It's the 25th one. Can you believe we've put out 25 of these? That's how long lockdown and this virus has lasted. My Christ. It's our silver jubilee. Yeah, we mentioned a baby that the parents didn't want to mention their gender in this episode, and that baby is now a 9-year-old child of indeterminate gender. I wonder if it knows yet what gender it is. But we've learned, haven't we? Gender is not important, my fine friends. Let's not put labels on things. They were right all along. I've learnt many things since 9 years ago. If you want to pre-order my book, The Problem With Men, that would be lovely. It's available everywhere you pre-order your books. You know those places. Head over there. The more we can sell in advance, the better chance it has. There is an audiobook as well, and we're doing a very special podcast within that audiobook with a special guest, which I think you'll enjoy as well. So there'll be extra content on the audiobook, which you can get from Audible or wherever you get your audiobooks, I think. Okay, thank you very much. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy yet another As It Occurs To Me, my friends from the old days. As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me. Still going. I'm running on fumes, but here I am. I'm still going. Hello and welcome to the Silver Jubilee. It's the 25th edition of the show that all the BDSM driving instructors are calling AI Otima. I thought the seatbelts were a bit tight. BDSM, or as I call it, Buddhism. Yeah, and some people call it that. I wonder if it would be as popular if everyone called it that. Not that popular. Anyway, it's the internet stand-up and sketch show written at the last possible minute by a man on the verge of a nervous breakdown who should be getting on with his proper paid work but prefers to come to the Leicester Square Theatre every Monday to repeat the same 5 jokes in a slightly different order for no money.
Yes, 25 episodes. In a way, we should be celebrating, in a way. And to celebrate this incredible achievement, every school child in the land will be receiving an especially minted commemorative pumpkin. A minted pumpkin, as I'm sure we all know, is defined thus.
You make a jack-o'-lantern. Get at least 5 men to come in said jack-o'-lantern and then throw in a pack of polo mints. Stir for 5 minutes over a gentle heat. Then get a woman to put it on her head.
Yep, minted pumpkins there. Made especially for the kids. It's less brackish. It's the only way to wean those sweet-toothed idiots onto the real thing. You might be thinking, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hold on, it's dumpkins now, Grandad, but... No. It would be irresponsible and perverse to give dumpkins to school children. That is wrong. You make me sick for even thinking about that. And anyway, it's minted pumpkins now, great granddad. And it's a week where I've had the exciting news that my unique brand of excrement, sexcrement, and desecration of the sacrament-based jokes are going to be preserved for future generations. On Tuesday, waiting patiently for Dan Tetzel to get up to the microphone for his bit. On Tuesday... Seamless. On Tuesday, I don't think you were coming. I don't think you're going to come. On Tuesday, too busy with the love beads buzzing away.
The love beads don't buzz. Oh.
Last Tuesday, I received an email which said.
The British Library would like to archive the following website, www.richardherring.com. We select and archive sites to represent aspects of UK documentary heritage, and as a result, they will remain available to researchers in the future.
That's right. That is right. It's amazing, but it's true. I'm not making this up. My website, my blog, presumably my podcast, are considered of such historical importance. They're going to be preserved for future generations. That's better than a Sony Award, isn't it? I mean, Ollie Mann from Answer Me This with your Sony Gold Sony Award. You might, because of that, you might get to review the newspapers on Sky News at 6:30 a.m. next to an uninterested Eamon Holmes, which I know because I was up at that time this morning. That's why But are you in the British Library? Of course you're not, Ollie Mann. Well, only when you're hanging around the toilets hoping for a bumming off Andrew Collins. Yeah. You are so the letterbox in that arrangement, Ollie Mann. You wish you were Andrew Collins. That's how low your aspirations are. Why are you so shit? Answer me that. My blog. Yeah. Taking down the rival podcasts. My blog will be used for historical research. I am the new Samuel Pepys. Although he got lucky with some of his source material, he got to write about the Great Fire of London, whereas I have to make do with the Great We of Cafe Nero Hammersmith, which isn't as good. I still did well with it. But I'm glad this is happening, because my humour is so sophisticated that only the evolved human brains of the future will be able to fully appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, sure, you fools of today, like apes that mow and chatter, get some simple enjoyment from the swear words and repetition of phrases, high-backed armchair. You fucking idiots. But you are not mentally equipped to understand what I'm really doing here. There's levels to this that you can't even see. So let me just say, this is for the people in the future. Hello? Thanks for getting what I'm actually doing. Hope you're enjoying this week's show. Yeah, don't worry. Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus is in this one. Don't worry. I know you all love that in the year 2525. Even though you don't know who Pippa Middleton is, it takes on a sort of surreal quality. Weird to think that as you listen to this, every person in this room will be dead. Just dust and dry bones. Every laugh you hear is the laughter of the doomed. These people once so full of life, now inert, their skulls in permanent silent screams in the soil. And whilst you, O future academic, are full of life and joy now, you too one day shall return unto the dust. And so whilst you can laugh heartily as I talk of cumpkins and dumpkins and mint cumpkins, it is now, I don't know what it will be when you're listening, it'll have moved on. Zumpkins, probably, by the chance you... By the time 2525 comes along, your happiness is tinged with the dread of what is to come, your own inevitable demise. And tonight's audience, The Walking Dead, because you've paid to come and see the show live rather than downloading it for free like all the idiots at home, you have a chance to commune with the future across the unbridgeable chasm of time. Is there anything you'd like to shout out to your silver-clad descendants? A message for the few willies, that is it. That is the message. You had one chance. That's your whole life. That's all that's going to survive from your life is you shouting willies. You'll be the bloke. Who was that? And that's all he did in his life. He shouted willies. That's gone 500 years into the future. With an academic listening. But whilst you, our listeners, will remain anonymous and forgotten, the names of a few others will live on thanks to me beyond their tawdry lives and unremarkable deaths. Those names are Dan Tetzel, TV's Emma Kennedy, and on the guitar, Christian Riley.
Hello, good evening. Hello, everyone.
Dan Tetzel, hello. What has occurred to you this week?
I returned this morning from a weekend with my partner's family. They took a house in Aldborough. No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, some people like families. It's good. While I was there, it's quite a beautiful place. There's a toy boat, boating lake by the seafront, and I was struck by how, idyllic and halcyon that looked. So I decided to buy my sex excrement, and also the sex excrement of my my partner's sisters. There were lots of kids there anyway, and I bought them all little toy wooden toy boats, handmade boats. They're beautiful. They're really lovely, and slightly ruined by them being called 8-inch chubbies. Though I have to say that is one of the reasons I bought them. I could have gone for the 10-inch bum pleasers, but I went for the. I wish I hadn't said that now. But yeah,
thank you.
That's good.
Emma Kennedy, yeah. Happy birthday, your birthday.
Thanks.
This week. 49 years old, Emma Kennedy. 49. Doesn't look bad, does she, for 49? No, looks pretty good for 49. 49 years old.
I'm 44.
44.
No, 44.
44.
44.
44. Yeah, you look pretty bad for 44. For 49, it might be amazing, wouldn't she, if she was 49. Anything occurred to you this week in the week of your birthday?
Well, just reminded me what you said about the 8-inch chubbies.
It was a good birthday then.
Yeah, wow.
I was staying in East Kilbride. And I was
What's everyone travelling around this week for? I've been to Amsterdam. Fuck you.
I was staying with a friend of mine who is a homosexualist gentleman, and he's just moved to East Kilbride. And I looked about 6 months ago. He showed me the brochure to his new house, and I pointed to the address and I said, "Surely that's a joke. Surely that's a joke." And he hadn't realised because his new house is 24-inch Keith.
And that's given any gay listeners in East Kilbride a little lead there on where you may want to. Yeah. It's difficult to live up to the expectations.
It was good, yeah, so it was that. And then my mother, I saw my mother yesterday for my birthday lunch, and she actually asked me how old I was.
49. So, and Christian, what has occurred to you this week? I can't wait. It's always my favourite bit of the show.
Yeah, I think it's a high point, isn't it?
It is. It's almost more dangerous than asking people in the audience.
All I'm going to say is Lambert Opie likes Wonky Face.
Does he?
He likes it. He's liked it on Facebook.
He's liked it.
I mean, that's he's liked it.
Has he? Is it definitely him? You wouldn't pretend to be Lambert Opie, would you?
another comedian wrote to me last week and said the last week's song should have been called. He said, "I know it's really annoying when people do this." He said it should have been called "Here Comes the Bum."
Right.
And he's right. It's really annoying.
Yeah. You didn't think of that, did you? It's annoying.
No, I mean, if I could have thought of something, I'd be making like £86.
Right. You could only have thought of that, changing the word son to bum, which I imagine Dan Tetzel's child has managed to make that joke already. Anyway, let's see what else has occurred to me this week.
Tuesday.
Twice wrong rapture predictor Harold Camping came out of hiding to reveal that he'd once again made a mistake with his sums, and we'd work that out. And in fact, the Rapture is not going to happen the 21st of May. That was wrong. It's the 21st of October now, which is actually my non-imaginary girlfriend's non-imaginary birthday. She was annoyed with this news, not because she now has only 5 months to live, which we'd think would worry her, but because...
It's going to really steal focus from me on my special day. Yeah.
Women, eh? Brilliant. So she's right about that, but it's more annoying for me because I'm going to have to waste money on a birthday present that she's not going to have any time to use. That is a... Come on, Jesus, you're out there. Be a mate. Make it a day earlier and I'll be quids in. Mind you, when that fiery pits of hell open up beneath our feet, it's going to be really tempting for me to push her in.
Sunday.
10 people have died in Germany as a result of eating killer cucumbers, which is the second most embarrassing way to be killed by a cucumber. They say they've been eaten. They say they've eaten the cucumbers, but it can be a coincidence that all the deaths have happened in Germany, a place that makes all its food in easy-to-insert anal form. A country which spawned Dan Tetzel, the famous anal dildo fetishist, as anal dildo's name. Can a cucumber really kill you if you eat it? Or is it more likely the time of this? Did Dan Tetzel smuggle those cucumbers back through customs in New York in the way that felt natural to him? A cucumber can't kill you on its own. Then it became infected. Other German people bought those cucumbers. They weren't going to eat. They don't eat vegetables in Germany. They were going to... They inserted them. That is what I happened. And if anyone's relatives died who listened to this, I'm sorry. But it could be that the cucumbers are trying to get us back. You know, we've been horrible to the cucumbers in the past, slicing them up, putting them in salads and sandwiches, then removing them from the salads and sandwiches and throwing them away. It's not a surprise the cucumbers are trying to get us back. It's a planet of the cucumbers situation, I think, is developing. You see if I'm wrong. You're laughing now, some of you. You see if I'm right. I don't say I didn't warn you.
Monday.
Canadian couple Kathy Witterick and David Stocker have been defending their decision, and this is true, to keep the sex of their four-month-old baby Storm a secret. Miss Witterick told the Toronto Star that the idea that...
The whole world must know what is between the baby's legs is unhealthy, unsafe, and voyeuristic, eh?
That's what she said. That is a genuine quote. Don't laugh too much now. There's a lot more of that to come. And it's hard to argue with that, isn't it? Unless you have a tiny remaining vestige of sanity, in which case it is easy. Much healthier, of course, that what is between a baby's legs should remain secret and shameful and unknown and a cause of speculation around the whole world in the media. Because we all know from the super injunction thing, don't we, that keeping things secret doesn't make people desperate to find out the truth. So all they're doing in keeping this secret is making it obvious that more people will want to look at their baby's genitals. People who would never have wanted to look at them before, they'll now be desperately trying to look down in that baby's nappy, and that's disgusting. And they've set themselves an almost impossible challenge because they know what sex the child is, but they have to, the rest of their life, they've got to talk about the baby without actually saying him or her or my son or my daughter. They've got to try to go it or him or her. They've got to say every time they talk about it, they're going to have to say him or her. They'll have to call him or her, and they're bound to slip up at some point and say him or her instead of him or her. And then they'll have to quickly say, or her, or him, depending which one they said. And it'll be obvious which one it is, because they'll be going, him or her. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult for them to get through their whole life. Storm may be only 4 months old, but you can tell from his, it's obviously a boy. If you just look at, I don't know if you've seen the picture of it. It's just like, there are more ways of telling the sex of a child than its genitals. I don't know if these people have realised that. It's a big, fat little boy. If you go and look up the picture, I might put it on as a like the picture on the podcast if you're listening at home. You can tell from his upset and confused face that he already knows his life is fucked up beyond repair. I genuinely haven't seen the look on the face of that look on the face of a baby since I last checked Amazon and saw 100 books about baby massaging, which is exactly the same. I'll put them up. They're exactly the same face. Surely the only way to ensure that Storm doesn't find out that he is a boy, because he is a boy, is to put him in blinkers for the rest of his life and tie his hands behind his back so he can't touch himself. Only then will his parents save him from untold psychological damage.
As it occurs to me, it was as if someone had passed a stool in my one good ear.
This week's, that's a one-star iTunes review. That came from someone called Great Big Terry. And rarely has an iTunes comment and moniker given us so much information about a person in so few words, and yet left so many questions tantalisingly unanswered. Who is this Great and Big Terry? In what way is he great? Is he big or is he just fantastic? In what direction is he big? Is he broad or tall or both? How did he lose the hearing in one of his ears? Why would he even consider the possibility of someone shitting in his aural cavity? Has it happened before? Is that how he lost the hearing in his one bad ear? I can only think of Great Big Terry as pinners brimming with excrement, unable to enjoy this show, worrying it might be in stereo. It isn't. It's in mono. Don't worry. You're getting everything you can get out of this. God bless you, Great Big Terry, and all who defecate in your anal canal, I was going to say. Your oral canal. Have a go at shitting in his anal canal. That would be quite good fun. I don't know if anyone's tried that. Dad?
Saturday.
New pumpkin. So this weekend I was performing at the Amsterdam Comedy Festival. I'm an international comedian. I flew with EasyJet because I enjoy being stripped of my humanity, dignity, and being treated worse than veal being transported to the abattoir. On the way back, me and my fellow victims on my flight were herded into a tiny room with no seats in it. I couldn't understand. We were down in this room for about 30 minutes, having to stand waiting for the plane to arrive and for it to be deloused. There seemed no need for such treatment. I can only imagine that Ian EasyJet, the owner of EasyJet, Ian EasyJet, gets off on seeing people in extreme discomfort. He's watching the whole thing somewhere on closed circuit TV, sat in a high-backed armchair with a semicircular toilet mat around it, making his own amusement. The thing about EasyJet is you're allowed to pay extra money to get what's called a speedy boarding pass, right? Which means you pay like £10 extra for the flight and you get to go in a special cordoned off area where there are a few seats. Not enough to accommodate everyone. That's why you're waiting. And then you get to go on the plane first and sit wherever you like, at the front if you want. But the thing is, you're still travelling on EasyJet. It doesn't matter. Those people walk around as if they're the fucking kings of the earth. We get to go on the plane first, we're better than you. You're not better than me. You're still on EasyJet. Go on British Airways if you're better than me in first class. That doesn't make first class, does it? Going to sit where you want in the plane. And it's actually better to wait until the end, like I do, because then you don't have to stand up for ages. And then you can see where people are sitting and you can choose who you want to sit near. And I found a whole row of empty seats and sat there with my friend. So fuck you with your £10. Think you're better than me. You're not. Just makes you the scum on top of the scum. That's all you are. Anyway, I was stood with another comedian waiting for this hell to be over, and a man behind me just tugged, without asking, tugged rather forcefully at my arm.
Excuse me, can I just ask, are you the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor?
No, I'm not. I'm not him.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am pretty sure about it. I think I would remember motorcycling around the world.
I've been standing here looking at you, and I thought you looked like someone, and I was... Yeah, I was pretty sure it was the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor.
No, I do get that quite a lot. That's happened before. But the bloke, the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor, he's over 6 foot tall and hideously ugly. Oh. So, no, I am not him. Thanks for asking.
Oh, sure, I recognised you from somewhere.
See, he was fishing now. He thought he'd recognise me. He didn't know who I was. I wasn't going to help him, though, because the rules of minor celebrity spotting are that if you can identify the minor celebrity correctly by name, then they must chat with you for at least 30 seconds. But if you get the wrong minor celebrity's name or the person, they're under no obligation to converse with you. They can shun you and you have to shut up. You might say, oh, come on, he's half recognised you. He's made an incorrect guess. Why not just be a nice guy? Put him out of his misery. Tell him who you are. But I'd reply, I have some fucking pride. I'm not going to beg for Charlie Borman's scraps. So I said, even though I said it, even if I... Confused.
Yeah.
I was confused by the script. Whoever wrote this script, but it is a different person saying it. So I wrote the script. So what I said, I just wanted to pause for dramatic effect. Even if I had been the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor, I'd be pretty fucked off. You'd referred to me, to my face, as the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor, rather than by my actual name. So I'd probably say I wasn't the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor, even if I was the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor.
So does that mean you are the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor?
No. Just that maybe you should get your facts straight before you interrupt someone when they're waiting for the easy jet to start. I'm an important person. I'm not him, so there you go. If I was the guy who motorcycled around the world, Ewan McGregor, do you really think I'd be flying on EasyJet? I would at least have paid for priority boarding if I was. Or I'd have just rung up Ewan McGregor and said, hey, do you want to do some motorcycling with me from Amsterdam to London? It'd be cool. What? Oh, right, you're busy this week, yeah. What about another date? Oh, you're busy then as well. I didn't actually tell you what the other date was, though. I'm not him.
Are you sure? You sound like you know a lot about how his life must be.
I'm not.
Sorry, it's just been really bugging me. I overheard you talking about a TV show you've been on, so I thought you might be him.
What the fuck? He was getting really weird now. He'd been listening into our conversation, and perhaps he couldn't help overhearing, given the close quarters we've been herded into by the EasyJet Nazis. Yes, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm comparing them to. But to blatantly admit it and bring up that he'd been listening, what was wrong with him? I said, no, I'm definitely not the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. All right,
no need to be a prick about it.
Of course, I could have prevented all of this by sating his curiosity immediately, and afterwards I regretted the way I behaved. It was childish. I'd do it all differently if I could turn back time. Thanks to the magic of AI Ottima, I can.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? If I could turn back time.
Excuse me, can I just ask, are you the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor?
Yep, that's me. That's who I am. I'm the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. Nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, all right, thanks. Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Oh, nothing. I just recognised you and I just wanted to say hi. Sorry. I have forgotten your name.
Don't worry about it. I actually prefer just being called the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. It's easier, isn't it? And let's face it, that is who I am, isn't it? I'm the bloke who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. That defines me. I have done nothing else in my life.
Oh, no, I've just remembered. Well, you were in that film, The Emerald Forest?
No, I wasn't. All I have done is motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. Though, you know, it could be worse. I'm proud. I could just be a bloke who looks like the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. I'm at least better than that guy, aren't I? I have at least motorcycled around the world, and I am friends with Ewan McGregor.
Can I get your autograph?
Yep, anything for a fan, and anyone who's fan enough to recognise me as the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. Oh, that makes you a big enough fan for me. What's your name?
Simon.
Cool. To Simon, great to meet you. Love, the guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, I love motorcycling, me. You know? Some people... The catchphrase is not yet over. Do not applaud until the end. This is the longest catchphrase in the world. I love motorcycling, me. Some people like cycling on a normal bike. Not me. I say, why pedal around? We can have a bike that doesn't need to be pedalled with all an engine and stuff on it. Yeah, I get on my Kawasaki. That type of motorcycle. Yeah. Give old Ewan McGregor a call. Then I'm off we go. That's both of us. That's his. That's my Kawasaki.
Right.
Do you like motorcycling? Why don't you come on my next trip? You could be the guy who motorcycles around the world with the guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor. People might half recognise you at airports or think that other people are you when they're not. Imagine being mistaken for the guy who motorcycles around the world with the guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor. How small would that make a minor celebrity feel? Awful.
Sorry?
Look, do you want to come motorcycling around the world with me or not then?
Yeah, all right, yeah. I don't have a motorcycle, though.
Oh, why don't you go and buy a motorcycle? Okay, I'd recommend the Kawasaki is a good model.
Yeah, sounds like that.
Get that.
Believable.
Go and buy some motorcycling clothes. I know the address of a good shop you can go to. Then come round to my house. Here's my address. We'll motorcycle around the world together. So yes, on this motorcycle.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Then, later, when he turned up at my house... Hello?
Oh, hi, guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor. It's me, the guy who motorcycles around the world with the guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor. I'm ready to motorcycle around the world.
Really? That's interesting, because actually, you were mistaken. I'm not the guy who motorcycles around the world with Ewan McGregor. I am actually the guy who used to be on that thing back in the 1990s. Remember, it had a big talking pumpkin in it or something with Stuart Lee. Not Ewan McGregor, Stuart Lee. So I can't even motorcycle. I tricked you. Maybe you should get better at spotting vaguely recognisable minor celebrities in futures. I hope you've learned your lesson. Slam!
Oh.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? I pretend to be the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor in order to play a practical joke on the man who mistakenly thought I was the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. And then when he bought his own motorcycle, I would reveal that I wasn't the guy who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. If I could turn back time.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Quite a long sketch. So let's go down in the audience. Let's go down to the audience to see. You couldn't do that on the TV. I probably wouldn't let you. So let's go down into the audience to see what has occurred to them this week. Remember the thing I said? Andy McCaich, you're a reliable witness. What's occurred to you this week? It occurred to you 15 minutes ago.
I was listening to Emma's story about East Kilbride.
Yeah, when you're listening to Emma's story about East Kilbride.
I grew up in East Kilbride.
You grew up in East Kilbride.
And I grew up in 10
inch Keith. You grew up in 10
inch Keith. No way!
Grew up in 10 inch Keith. Andy McCaich.
I asked a few minutes ago that there was anything funny about it.
He's only just realised there was anything funny about it. Very good.
Oh, Andy.
Well, if you want to pop over to 24-inch Keith, I think there's some fun to be had. There's a young gentleman here in a little hooded top. I'm not going to use that judge event. It's a show about not judging, but don't prove me wrong by being a thug. Well, what's your name?
Lewis.
Lewis, what's occurred to you this week?
I learned about you in history.
You learned about me in history. I saw this on Twitter.
It's
apparently I am. So what's the story? I was in a history lesson. What was the history lesson about?
It was religion.
Religion.
Richard Herring versus Anne Widdecombe.
Religion in cultural Britain. Richard Herring versus Anne Widdecombe. That is a wrestling match I would like to see. Genuinely, is this on the school curriculum or just as your teacher in Nutcase?
Yes, she's a
Nutcase in religious studies. Is this? Is that?
Or is,
In history, oh, of course it is, you said that, yeah, I should listen. In history, that is a terrible thing to think, isn't it? That I'm part of history. In the same week that I've been archived in the British Library, those two things actually came into my Twitter
you
at about the same time.
History,
I thought, am I actually dead? Maybe I am dead.
Can I ask a supplementary follow-up question? Is it what level, is this like degree level or remedial? Where is it falling? Is this a proper, is it what?
A level. A level, that's proper. That's proper. I mean, they're not as good as they used to be.
No, they're not as hard.
I've got three A's and a B when they're proper
hard.
Get an A now for just
Southampton's perfectly acceptable, so don't worry about it. You know, when you get there, that'll be fine.
Who was the best in the. Who did they decide won out of me and Anne Widdecombe in the debate at your school?
You did.
I won. I am the best.
Anne Widdecombe was a bit crazy.
Right, that is a disparaging thing. Let's go down to our friend here at the front. Have you got a story to tell us?
Yep. Flying from Mumbai to London.
You're flying from Mumbai to London.
That meant to me that there were two Catholic nuns in my plane.
There were two Catholic nuns on your plane.
Yeah, and they look quite similar.
They look quite similar. They do. It's racist. That is a racist thing to say. But they do. They dress the same.
It then occurred to me that at any given time, there are at least two nuns in the same plane as I.
When at any given time, there are at least two nuns on the same plane as you. What do you think? You're saying some kind of nun fanny magnet? Is that what you are? That nuns can't. None see you. What's your name?
Sadat.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, good. That's good. I tried to do it in a proper Indian accent and everything. So that's good, yeah. So you've got nuns stalking you. Maybe.
Stuart Lee understood that.
Stuart Lee understood it. I don't understand it. Two nuns. Yeah, yeah, two nuns.
He said, when I told him the joke, he said
it's a joke. I didn't get it. It's a Euclidean geometry-based joke. Yeah, those are amongst my favourite ones.
Part of the reason was because he was saying Euclidean geometry over and over again.
That's what he does, isn't he? He says Euclidean. He just says the same thing over and over again. It's not like me. I wouldn't do a 15-minute sketch.
If you saw two nuts, you do the where's the soap joke. Or show him your cross.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that one.
One had a stroke.
Yeah.
I still don't get the joke, but I'm not as clever as Stuart. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming from Mumbai to see the show. two nuns every day. It takes all sorts. We'll go for a lady. There's a lady there. Hello, madam.
Oh, hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Mine's Kirsty.
Kirsty, lovely name.
What occurred to me this week?
What occurred to Kirsty this week
is...
You were supposed to go and see Duran Duran, not the only one.
No, yeah. No.
Emma Kennedy.
I've got something even worse to tell you. Carry on.
I just think Le Bon needs to man up.
Le Bon's larynx is gone. You think he needs to man up? Yeah, I got up at 6 o'clock this morning.
Are you a big Duran Duran fan? You're a big Duran Duran. Okay, listen to this.
She's quoting the lyrics to Rio.
Because it was...
So the people at home know. That's how big a fan she is, do you know? I know the fucking lyrics of that. You think you're an easy on me, you're about as easy as a nuclear war. I fucking hate Duran Duran. Idiots.
Check this out. Because it was my birthday.
It's like birthday. The Adam
Mikey. I can't
forget
that. I'm just ignoring him. Because it was my birthday,
they
had arranged...
Why did you choose a song room so I registered to sing? Wabbers!
They had arranged for me to be given a birthday cake by Duran Duran backstage. I fucking hate Simon Le Bon.
Yeah, is that? You've let a lot of people down, Le Bon. A lot of... And they're not the kind of people you want to let down, the people in my audience, because they will hunt you down and kill you. They have the means. I'm sorry about that. Well, I'm here, if that makes sense. Does that make it up for you?
Yeah.
You love me, but you don't know all the lyrics to the motorcycle clothing shop.
It's a classic. It's what won me the Chortle Award.
It was. Thank you. It's what won me the Chortle Award.
The worst part of the evening, I went round to my friends and just got very drunk.
You went round to your friends and got very drunk?
Yeah. And then, sadly, I left my tent in San Francisco on a train.
She left a copy of I Left My Tent in San Francisco. This could be a new book. I left my copy of... You should write this up. This is incredible. If Emma Kennedy can write a book, any fucker can. I'm telling you that right now. Just have to write down the stuff.
There's loads in that remainder bookshop.
Are you hoping to get a free copy? Because it's not going to fucking happen. I'm telling you that now. She holds on to those. I bought my own copy of her book.
I would actually give you one, but I haven't got any left now.
Yeah, because they've all sold out. Go to Waterstones, go and buy her a copy and come back.
Yeah, all
we're
right.
Waiting for you.
Are you going to come back next week? All right, I'll get you a copy.
Oh, you can't wait, though, surely. It's such an exciting book, you couldn't wait a week. We'll go for one more. Oh, we're close. Hello, this is our friend from early on. The first half, you've been here at home. If you've been here, you'd have seen this, me sexually harassing this woman. I may do it again. Remind me of your name. Meredith, of course it is. And what's occurred to you this week, Meredith?
I got a text.
You got a text? I got attacked. I thought it was going to be... I didn't attack you! Don't fucking... I've got witnesses here. I may have sexually, you know, verbally sexually assaulted you, but that is a very different crime. You got a text, sorry, you got a text.
What I said was, oh my God, how long do pubes take to grow back?
The text said, oh my God, how long do pubes take to grow back? And do you know who it was from? It was from your friend. It was from the young lady. The young lady in the first half said she might consider having sex with a 44-year-old man. She has. There is an explanation. You were shaving off your pubic hair to... It's worse than that.
She thought it would be funny to shave all of her pubic hair away and leave a smiley face.
A friend thought it'd be funny to shave all her pubic hair away and leave a smiley face. And she's actually, if you've been here to see this, she's actually now showing the rest of the audience what that looks like. And it's been worth £14 to come and see that alone, actually. There are two attractive women in the audience tonight. at least two. So you could have seen it. It would have been amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. What's your name again?
Emily.
Emily. Emily. So where'd you go to college? In Reigate, so if anyone's listening in Reigate, they want to.
Most people know anyway,
because yes, get drunk down in the bar. So once you've got it, you might as well show it off. If you've got it, flaunt it. I'll do it next week. I'll try and get my pubic hair shaved into a. Probably be some kind of elephant shape. There's not much a man can do, is there? Once you start taking the pubic hair away as a man, it's not. It makes it look bigger, Graham. That's the thing to remember. If you take it off the. Take it away from the base. Just shave around the base. I'm sure you've seen this in porn films, but if you'll notice they shave it. It gives the appearance. It's better than what some people do is they cut the guy ropes inside. They get it, not themselves. Don't do this on your own. You have to get a surgeon to do it. There's a lot. It's like a kind of iceberg. The penis. I know that I did it. It's sort of like an iceberg, but you know most of it's not, well, hopefully most of it's on the outside. It's sort of a reverse. Reverse. This is all for you, Graham. Graham Trinks. There's a good inch of penis there, just kind of in there. If you're a bit chubby, a bit more than an inch, if you're lucky, mate. So you cut the guy ropes and you can push. Look, this is education. The penis is a beautiful thing. It leads to some stability problems. Because there are no... You know, the guy, it's like a tent. I left my tent in San Francisco. It's the worst place to leave it. But again, it gives you another inch. But what I'm saying, Graham, if you're worried about this, he's been emailing me quite a lot about it, and I thought this was the best time. I thought this was the best time to discuss it. Graham Triggs, his penis problem. Just shave some of the pubic hair away. It's worked on your head, hasn't it? So there we go. So, he hadn't even done anything. He can take it. I think on Saturday I came back from Amsterdam and we at my house we were having a party because you know I thought it'd be good to get drunk for two nights in a row when I had as it occurs to me coming up and we the theme of the party was come as your teenage self right. As your party and so I went to that party and everyone thought I was making this up. I went wearing an old man's jacket and three ties. Okay, so three ties in a row and everyone going, why are you doing that? You didn't dress like that as a teenager. I did. On occasion, we usually had one tie, but sometimes there's a kind of...
That's a look.
I was a bit wacky and I was satirising fashion. You heard my poetry. It was about the same time as the poems. Why did I lose my virginity when I was nearly 20? I can't understand it. You'd think a man A young man walking around with an old man's jacket and three kipper ties. Only you'd think that girls would go crazy for that. And do you have any memories of teenage parties? Dan?
They're all horrible, I should remember. I would have had to wear a waistcoat, I think, possibly to go to your party. That would have been embarrassing. I have a vague memory of talking at great length about Brechtian theory at the party. That was quite embarrassing to try and impress a girl.
Did it work?
No, really didn't. No.
They had little success.
I would have been dressed as sort of a reject from Haircut 100.
Yeah.
And the best thing that ever happened at a teenage party I went to, apologies if you've heard this story before, but we had a racy girl at our school called Monica, and she had a brace. And it was one that, you know, when you get, obviously probably loads of people here have had a brace, but you know when they snip that bit in the middle? When you're about a month off from not having to have it anymore and you're forever catching your lip in it. Anyway, so she goes to a garden shed with a young man. And the next thing we know, blood-curdling screams. Blood-curdling, like a wounded animal, like a sound I have never heard before or since. And her brace had become impaled in the young man's penis. But the best bit was that they had to call an ambulance because she couldn't get the brace out of his penis. And we all stood watching while this boy was carried out on a stretcher with Monica West scuttling alongside with her head under a red blanket.
To be fair, he had been wearing a T-shirt saying, give me head till I'm dead, so you had to come and see the show to get that one, or buy one of my other DVDs. I remember it, Brian Bancroft, we had a very wild party at Brian Bancroft's house when his parents were away. Sorry if I'm dobbing you in, Brian, getting you in trouble. And we did all kinds of terrible things there, but we did draw cocks behind all of the pictures on the wall. And I've noticed that house is up for sale. I'm tempted to. It was 30 years ago, yeah. But I'm tempted to go and buy that house to see if the cocks are still.
By Wanksy. Still there. Yeah.
Good, we'll move on. So, unless. Have you got anything? No, let's move on. Do that. Do a sting. There's a sting. Page 14, sting.
Yeah. As it occurs to me. The awkward audience interaction is over. Now it's ready for the awkward scripted material.
Good. Thank you very much. Well done to you. Very good. You're the best audience. You've been very good all night, in fact, I have to say. But you're the best. Not much to beat this season, I have to say. But diaries have always been popular, haven't they? From Adrian Mole to Bridget Jones to that one Hitler did and then pretended he didn't write because he got embarrassed about some of the stuff he said. But now, I fancy Himmler. Now there's a new skid on the block. It's time for the diary of Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus.
The diary of Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a woman in possession of a good buttock must be in want of tabloid newspapers taking photos of her ass without her permission at every given opportunity. But the truth that no one acknowledges is that the anus, the bum, bullet hole, if you will, is the more important part. Well, this is one sphincter that is prepared to make a stink about it. Hello, it's me, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. A humble disembodied anus of the sister of the future queen, just trying to make a skid mark on the world. With this, my unexpurgated diary. This week, I got a call from my manager.
Seriously, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus, you have to stop ringing me. I've got nothing for you.
Haven't Nuts got back to you about the photo shoot?
Look, why don't you listen?
I have no ears. I'm an anus.
Yeah. Look, they got back and they said no. They are a respectable magazine. They can't be having discarnated ring pieces displayed on their pages. They've got standards up, oldies. If they put a picture of you, they'd have to take out one of the pictures of vulnerable young actresses with their fingers hooked into their pants and their breasts pressed against the breasts of another vulnerable young actress while sucking on their fingers if it was the reader's penis. I mean, imagine the disgust and furore if there was a picture of a disembodied tradesman's entrance there instead. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe if you got me a date with Lee from Blue, then I'd appear in tabloids.
Lee from Blue is not interested in disembodied anuses. He's very strict on that. He needs something to take. Now, Simon, yeah, not so much. But anyway. Now, listen, Pippa Middleton's anus, the British public, they're just not ready for a celebrity disembodied mud shoot.
But I won't be silenced. I am anus. Hear me up.
Yeah, oh, God, here you go. No, all right, love, all right. Yeah, yeah, please stop it. Yeah. There was one call to come in for you. I didn't want to mention it.
Oh, I don't care what it is. I'll do anything to overshadow Pippa Middleton's buttocks.
Yeah, it's almost liberty. Get me out of here.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's launched a lot of careers.
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, sign me up. I'm going to be a starfish. And by the end of the week, I was in the jungle.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Thank you.
I'll read, little Chris. You got 4 stars. But if you want to get number 5, you're going to have to eat this. Oh, why I? It's, this is the other one. Why I? It's Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus.
Oh, God, no.
Go on, eat the anus, go on.
Okay. Oh, boy, it's horrible.
Yes, yes, look at me, I'm on TV. Ooh. Ow, who is best now? I don't see Pippa Middleton's ass on TV. Just me. Funny. I am anus. Hear me.
Oh, God, no, not in my mouth. No. Oh, I'm Little Chris. I'm sponsored by Lidl. Me now.
There you go, another increasingly desperate Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus appearance. She / it will be back next week, I expect.
As it occurs to me, I thought the seatbelts were a bit tight.
Now it's time for a regular new section on the show, which many of you enjoyed. It's where I examine the ethics of something I've done or failed to do in the last 7 days, and the audience decide if I've acted morally, immorally, or amorally. For those of you who don't know what being amoral is, it's lacking any moral sense at all, rather than being immoral, which is deliberately not conforming to other people's sense of morality. Hope that's cleared it up. Clearly, in doing this section, I must have a notion of morality, because that's what it's about. So if you vote that I'm amoral, then you am a twat. But I'm still going to give you that option, so don't worry.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral...
When morals get hazy, our scruples get lazy, our conscience goes crazy, we listen exclusively to the music of Hazy Fantasy. We get trapped in the mazy.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, moral maze!
The theme song is the best bit for this. This week on the Moral Maze, bin porn.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, bin porn!
When I was travelling out to Amsterdam from London, I was flying on EasyJet, remember? We were sitting down while we were waiting to board. Some people were desperately queuing up, trying to get on the plane first, as I've explained. They should have understood that there are seats for everyone in the plane. You don't have to worry. You don't get there any quicker. We all get there at the same time. You have to wait for the little train at the other end. Oh, you fucking idiots. Ian EasyJet can't get aroused if you're seated, so do sit down and don't queue up. But there were lots of groups of nasty-looking men going to Amsterdam for the weekend for some reason. I don't think they were going to see the Van Gogh Museum, I have to say, though. If they were interested in seeing naked ladies, they were going to the wrong place. I tell you, Prague is where you have to go... for the deluxe pussies. That's the thing. If you go to Amsterdam, I'm just going to see normal Dutch pussies. So, Prague, that's where it is. the deluxe pussies. Anyway, I popped to the loo while everyone else was queuing up. And at the front of the queue, I passed the bin in full sight of everyone in the queue. Right? And I glanced into the bin. I noticed that someone into that bin in the morning time on Friday, they'd thrown away a porn mag. It was open and you could see a picture of this. They were so desperate for their porn fix that they needed to have a porn mag to get them to the airport to tide them over. They were going to Amsterdam, but they couldn't go for that 2 hours without having a porn mag. But now, bravely, just before the flight, they decide, oh, I'll throw that away. I've got an hour flight. I can cope for an hour. Then I'll pick up some more porn at the other end. At least I won't go through customs with my porn, but, you know, it was nice. So they could almost smell the red light just from where they were now, so they weren't too worried. But the porn mag was open. There was a sad-eyed, topless woman staring out from amongst the rubbish, right? And I felt uncomfortable about this situation. So I thought I should act about it, because there were a lot of reasons why not to leave it there, right? Because, A, the porn mag might be seen by a child, right? It was there open on top of a bin. They should be protected from such things, I think. Secondly, the magazine was paper, right, but it'd been placed in a regular bin, and there were, if it was going to be thrown, there were a lot of recycling bins around it at Stansted Airport, so that was wrong. It should at least have been recycled properly. Thirdly, as a gentleman, I owed the young lady in the picture the dignity of not being displayed like that in a bin of all places. A gallant man would rescue her from this humiliation. That's what I was thinking. Fourthly, the young ladies in that magazine had kindly posed nude for masturbatory pleasure of gentlemen, and to just throw them away unused, I think, was deeply disrespectful to them and what they did for a living. Shouldn't I discreetly take the magazine and then later, when I was alone, masturbate fastidiously over every single image in the magazine, including all the adverts and everything? That would only be polite. But, conversely, on the moral maze, it looked like a fairly softcore porn magazine, which probably wouldn't be enough to get me going, as I've explained. Getting old now. But it's the kind of porn mag a teenage boy might enjoy, but be unable to purchase themselves. That's like manna from heaven. Is it bin porn? That's what, if you're 14 years old, that's the only place you can get pornography, apart from the internet. But if you want to go retro and live like a boy from the 1980s, like I was, that was a rarity that came along. I was saying that if I took it and threw it away, then they wouldn't be able to have it. Plus, I was conscious though as well that there was a lot of people around. I'm a nationally known comedian. I don't want to be recognised by anyone and then become nationally and in fact internationally known as the bin porn comedian, a man so desperate for masturbatory material that he would take discarded and second-hand magazines out of a bin. Also, what I have to remember, this is something that most people don't have to worry about with their moral lives, is that most people, when they see me, do think I am Charlie Borman. So I have a responsibility to him and his reputation not to behave in ways that might cast bad light on him and his career. I don't want people thinking Charlie Borman's the kind of bloke who would take a second-hand. So, you know, I actually decided that I would leave the magazine. I weighed up and I left the magazine in the bin. So I just wondered whether people I'd done them. I didn't take it, I left it in the bin. But was I acted morally?
Well, I've got a couple of questions. Yeah. So, did you at any point take the magazine out of the bin and just have a quick look through
it? No, I didn't. I just left.
Are you sure?
Because I haven't stayed there. Nick Helmer was with me.
Okay, well, you were quite clear that it was softcore porn, which would suggest to me that you had a decent look through it.
I could just say
finish the job.
Judging by the picture I could see, it was just the lady in her pants with it, and I would say even in a hardcore porn mag doesn't bother with it. They don't have like they don't go into a let show her breasts and then show her with being cocks in every orifice and wanking off two cocks on the next page. They don't do that. They just go straight to the anal penetration, vaginal penetration,
I'm forgetting,
cock in the mouth,
I'm
cock in the ear.
I'm forgetting you know a lot about this. Yeah. I'm forgetting. You should have done this on Mastermind.
I should have done.
Then you might have won.
I'm fairly confident it was soft porn.
Okay.
I didn't look at anything other than the one.
If in the toilet there had been a high-backed armchair and a semicircular mat, would you have taken the porn?
If no one could have seen me, I might have taken it for all those reasons before. So I'm not sure did I do this for my own reputation? Am I pretending that I care about Charlie Borman's reputation? You have to decide.
I'm just relieved because when you said bin porn, I thought you were skull fucking the corpse of a one-eyed terrorist. So anything from there upwards is a relief, frankly. And
wow.
More worryingly, I wouldn't put the first thing past you, so...
He deserved it. No, there wasn't a man or woman on this earth who wouldn't cheer me if I was doing that.
Yeah, no,
I'd
no.
go to the ground zero and do that.
Yeah.
And everyone in America would stand up and cheer me for what I was doing. That is what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
With the fish coming out the other eye socket.
I think you're fucking the eye socket of a sort of a Muslim hero. I think it would go down really well.
In America, it would. I wouldn't go and do it in Afghanistan. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to go to Pakistan. That would inflame the situation.
Richard, I dare you.
You've done the show Christ and the Bike, but would you do the show fucking Bin Laden's corpse in Islamabad? Would you do that? No, I wouldn't do that because there's a different... On ground zero, it would be a respectable thing to do.
Would you do it on the Falls Road in Belfast, though?
I might do that because I don't think there's no connection. They would just be confused. They'd be confused by that.
I think you did the right thing. I think, you know, one man's meat should be left there, really. Where
but even though your child could have walked past and seen a naked woman's breasts.
Okay, now I think you framed it completely incorrectly. Yeah, all you have to do is close the cover of the magazine.
Yeah, and I'd have to touch it. I might have another man's.
Now we're getting to it. Yeah, it
had nothing to do with the porn. Secondhand porn.
Yeah,
and it's probably
but
like
there was a man's penis juice on it.
They've thrown it away, but still, you know, it's not. That. Anyway, it's up to the audience. Then you've had the arguments. Yeah, if you decide I was immoral, then what I will do as a punishment is I'll buy my own porn mag. I will masturbate over every single page, literally over it, smearing the page until it's covered, completely covered, out of respect for other people, what they've done. It's what they want. Every single, even the advert pages, even the adverts for cars and stuff, they're in there. If there are any, I'll cover those up. Then, after I've done that, I will then give that magazine to a needy adolescent at next week's show. If any 14-year-old boys are listening, if you want a porn mag, it will be covered in the semen of a 43-year-old man, the dried-on semen. But it's still a free porn mag. So if you think I was immoral, then you cheer for that. If you think leaving the porn in the bin was moral, then I'll cheer with that. And if you think it was, well, let's do it in order. So if you think it was, if you think I behaved in a moral fashion, cheer now. Yeah. Quite a big, that's beatable. If you think I behaved in an immoral fashion, call now. Great, cheer now. Yeah. That is definitely more. You know what you've done? This is you.
Zinc deficiency.
I think the punishment's more immoral than the crime. There's still a way out of it. If you think it was amoral, cheer now. Do you hear what I said at the beginning? If you still don't understand the difference between being amoral and being immoral, cheer now. Yeah, that's the same people. Yeah, that's good. Well, that's it. The winner is that I was immoral.
It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze. It's a moral. It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze. Richard's actions were immoral.
Yeah, so, if you are 14, I wouldn't give that. I'm not going to. You have to. If you're 14 or over, between 14 and 17, if you're listening at home, you have to come in with proof of identity because I wouldn't want to give a semen-coated porn mag to anybody. Under the age of 14. I think questions will be asked.
Are you going to try it sort of individually, separate the pages somehow, or is it going to be a...
That's awful. Is he genuinely going to do this?
I hadn't really considered. I didn't think. I thought the audience would think that was so awful that they would vote. Because that was the most... The other two things, I was definitely immoral, and they voted I was moral. They're just contrary. Don't trust the public about anything. I'll work on it hard. It's going to take some work. You help me.
Yeah, I tell you what, if we bring a porn mag in next week, you can all chip in, yeah?
Just pass a pint glass.
Bells included. Anyway,
just the interval.
Like Murder on the Orient Express, right? No. Good, this show's going on a long time. Now there's still a lot more to go, so I'm going to move on. Now open to Christian Riley for his weekly song. Late Christian Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a song. It's an appeal on behalf of this guy I know. I don't know if you'll be able to relate to it, but here we go.
He wakes up at 6 a.m. tired from a night of BDSM with his non-imaginary girlfriend. He's got a lucrative TV drama to write, but he'd rather make 85-11 tonight after he's watched National Lampoon's European Vacation. All that he wants is to be on telly, just on the telly now. All that he wants is to be on telly, yeah. All that he wants is to be on the telly. Please let him be on telly now. All that he wants is to be on telly, yeah. He leads a lonely life. The seatbelts are too tight. On a budget flight to Amsterdam, lusty for a porn mag in a trash can, wondering how did it come to this. One week it's have I got news for you. The next he's in the Cafe Nero patron's loo, standing in a giant pool of piss, talking to sphincters. All that he wants is to be on telly, just on the telly now. All that he wants is to be on the telly, yeah. All that he wants is to be on the telly. Please let him be on telly now. All that he wants is to be on the telly, yeah. Cause he's crying in a metaphysical skip. Where, oh, where is my golden joystick?
Just your money there. Show becoming so self-referential it may eat itself. So that's nearly the end of this show. There are only three more opportunities to see As It Occurs to Me live ever on the next three Mondays at the Leicester Square Theatre. So do come down. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun, isn't it, when you come down, you fucking idiot. I'm also doing two shows this year at the Edinburgh Fringe. You can book ahead for What Is Love Anyway at the Underbelly and Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast at the Stand. Tickets are available though. Go to the venue websites. I'm appearing in Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown, which records on May the 31st. That's Tuesday at the Phoenix in London. If you want to come down with the Pappy's Fun Club, they're funny boys. That'll be available to download for free from iTunes and the British Comedy Club website. It's a stupid system, because why would you go and see it live if you can get it for free? Damn, thought that through. Have you guys got anything coming up, Dan, you want to publicise? You're going to be on...
I'm on Psychoville this week.
That's good. Let's hope you haven't been cut out. That's good. Emma, got anything to publicise?
Yes, I'll be at the Stoke Newington Literary Festival at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Literature has taken a fucking downturn, that's what I'm telling you. And
she didn't say she'd be paid to be there, or had been asked to be there.
Hanging around. What were you saying in your book? Christian, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'll probably be here next week, this month, next Monday. I'd like to plug that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Is that not doing anything else?
Yeah, just get a few more people in, be good. Yeah. Might make I'm doing a gig, I'm doing Leicester, a highlight in Leicester on Saturday night.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So that's about the best now. That's the best thing that's often actually. Go to people who play in the Midlands. You'll see Christian Riley. Are they going to be? Are they mainly going to be songs about me, or are you going to broaden out?
So actually, I tried a few this weekend.
Weird. What are they talking about? So just coming up to the end of the show, the point where I'm traditionally interrupted by some characters. I'm going to make a little edit there. So if you could jump ahead. Oh no, it looks like it's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. See you again.
Hey, hold on there. Don't end the show yet.
Yeah, we have something to say about what you said about us and our son or daughter, whichever one he is, eh?
Or she is, eh?
Yes, eh?
Oh, that's the Canadian. They're Canadian.
Canadian.
It's Canadian.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian couple who say they won't say what sex their son is.
Or daughter is.
It's obviously a boy. Why?
Or a mannish girl.
Well, it could be a mannish girl.
Yes, and, you know... Oh, my God, it's gone now. Yeah, we've flown over from Toronto, eh? To say that we're disappointed in you, Richard.
Yeah, it's very easy to mug people for the lifestyle choices they make, eh?
Yeah, it is. But it's... particularly easy to mark your lifestyle choices and also everything about you, including the way you speak. Because your lifestyle choice is fucking ridiculous and unworkable.
He is our son. Oh, he is our daughter.
No, she is our daughter or son.
Yeah, that's good.
You come on now. All parents impose their belief systems on their kids. I mean, look at any religious family, eh? They tell their kids to believe the same as them. Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is ridiculous. It's still not as ridiculous as what you're doing, though, that is the thing.
Can't kids be allowed to work out who they're for themselves, really?
Do you also, just out of interest, do you also not want to say what sex they're, but you don't want to give them any accent? You want to say every single thing you say in a different accent so your child won't be influenced by the accent?
We're just keeping them on their tunes. Yeah.
We asked, could we be French Canadian, but no, apparently not.
Toronto isn't in French Canada. But kids can't be allowed to work stuff out for themselves. Children are fucking idiots. If you don't tell them what to do or frighten them with stories of made up ghosts and made up Jesuses, then they will kill themselves pretty quickly. I agree with you, gender stereotypes are bad things. We should work against them, let people be whoever they want to be. But I also think, you know, you shouldn't wreck a child's life in order to make that point. And you are just equally creating your own moral system, which is just as ridiculous as the one you're opposing.
Well, maybe boys would play with dolls if they weren't made to feel that they had to play with guns.
Yeah. And maybe girls would play with guns.
Yeah, no girls.
Yeah.
They'd play with dolls too, eh?
Sorry, no, I don't understand. What? Why does everyone have to play with dolls? It's like, come on again. Yeah. Why?
Yeah!
It's that choice!
Yeah, have choice! I like the choice, dolls, and now weapons!
I know the script isn't very good, but we could at least try and make it work. This is like Cheryl Cole going to America. This is going to ruin our... This is going to ruin our chances in America. I think Canada's pretty much off the fucking... I think iTunes Canada, we're not going to be in the top 10 next week.
Shall I do Obama again?
Yeah, do your racist voice. Do a different racist voice. Look, I think the whole idea of willingly having a child is weird and disgraceful. That's the thing. People should dispose of their sex excrement properly, either into a cumpkin, semicircular toilet mat, or onto a second-hand pornographic magazine, which they then give to a 14-year-old child. With evidence that he's 14, only with a... You know, some kind of passport or something. I hope if future generations are listening to this in the British Library, and if you respect and revere me as much as I think you will, you'll stop having children altogether and let the human race die a natural death. We're all doomed anyway. I explained, we're born astride the grave as we plop into the dirt beneath. We laugh at a couple of podcasts and bad Canadian accents. And then we're gone. And seriously, I've actually run out of time now writing the script. It's 3:45. I have to print the scripts up for the rehearsal. So although I haven't really explored this sketch as I had hoped to in the time available to me, as it turned out, it wouldn't have mattered because whatever I'd written, however brilliant it was, no one felt to hear what it is. So that's the end of the show.
Can I just...
No, you can't. There's no more script. And we, if one thing happens on this show, we never improvise a thing. Everything is tightly scripted. Goodbye!
Ace of Curse Me was written by Star Richard or Rachel Perry or Harry and performed by Dan or Daniel Tetzel and me, TV's Emma or Ian Kennedy or Kennedy, Christian or Christy. Riley did all the musical bits. It was produced by Ben or Benita Walker with thanks to Damien or Damien Carol Webb, Matt or Matilda Ricardo and everyone at the Blues Me Theatre. Special thanks to Orange Mark or Michaela at the British Comedy Guide or Scout. This is an Emily Scared Potato First All Male Pubic Hair production.
Thank you very much. Good work. Thank you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.